we all bow down, as we all come casting off our crowns, would you hear our cry? We want to see you glorified. As we all bow down, as we all casting off our crowns, would you hear a cry? We want to see you glorified. Oh, glorify your name. Glorify your name. Your kingdom come, Father, through our lives. We want to see you glorify, glorify your name, glorify your name, we
wanna see you glorified.
There's no one like all the earth. You are whole. You up, oh God, be glorified in this place. Oh, move through us, Lord. Oh, we honor you. Oh. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, early in the morning, my song shall rise. Oh.
else is worthy? Who else is worthy? There is no one, only you, Jesus. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? There is no one, only you, Jesus. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy?
I was born to lift your name above all names. You hear the melody of all creation.
But there's a song of praise that only I can bring.
Who else is worthy?
Who else is worthy?
Christ.
Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy?
There is no one, only Jesus. Jesus, you're the worthy one. There's no one worthy but you, Lord. You are the worthy one. You are the worthy one, holy, holy, the righteous one. That's who you are, Jesus, the anointed one, the one who lives and reigns forever and ever, seated at the right hand of the Father. Your death, your burial, your resurrection proved the Father's heart, proved the Father's love. And we're here to be evidence of that and be part of that. That's our call, to live for you, to show others who you are, make you known. Oh God, you're so amazing. You're so amazing. That's who you are. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you praise and honor. Just sing out to the Lord right now. We honor you, Jesus, King Jesus, righteous one, holy one. Put those words back up, please.
You're the Lamb of God.
You're the Lamb of God. Yes, Lord.
As we enter into a time of communion here, Lord, We enter in humbly and we say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for making a way in the desert, Lord. Lord, that when we were lost, Lord, we were hopeless, we were blind, Lord. You stepped in, Lord, on our behalf. Lord, you took on yourself everything that we deserved. Separation from the Father. Eternal damnation. You took it all, Lord Jesus. Lord, you said in your word that it was the joy set before you that you endured the cross. That you pressed through the darkness and the pain and all of it for relationship, Lord, with us. So, Lord, this morning we just offer a fresh surrender, Lord. A fresh submission to your plan and your purpose. Lord, you are faithful. You are so faithful, Lord. Lord, you're the... You're amazing, Lord. Lord, we invite you into our lives, Lord, deeper. And Lord, for that, we need to surrender more to you, Lord. So we do that this morning. Lord, we give you our little lives, Lord, our little hearts. So insignificant compared to your greatness, Lord. Compared with who you are. Lord, you say in your word that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. Of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. Lord, it's so much bigger than any of us. Lord, we're humbled this morning before you. Our lives seem so small and so insignificant, but Lord, you say in your word that the thoughts that you have about us, Lord, are more than all the sand and all the seashores in the world, Lord. That doesn't even make sense to my mind. But Lord, we step in this morning and we say it certainly makes sense to our spirits to receive. So, Lord, I thank you that this morning, Lord, that you would sanctify these elements, Lord. I encourage you this morning, if you guys, the little cup and juice that's around you, just if you guys can get that and just take a look at it. Adjust my arm here. But something so small, bread and juice, but just a symbol of the Lord's love and his heart for us. But even more than that, it's just a demonstration of his faithfulness. And the Lord is faithful. I know the Lord, he loves to demonstrate to us his faithfulness. And to me, he expresses himself in many ways. This morning, obviously you see Lily, Nikki and I's daughter. And I'm literally holding an expression of the Lord's faithfulness to me and my wife. And there's times where I look at her and I look at her face and I realize that the only reason that I'm holding her is because Jesus put her into our arms. Heaven moved heaven and earth to bring her into our lives. Answers to prayers that I didn't even at times think that I even had faith for. And he still brought it. And I'm blown away because of his faithfulness, his demonstrated faithfulness. And I just encourage you guys and reminding myself all the time that we don't take anything for granted. We can't, because the Lord's so faithful. He's so amazing. He's so good. He's so kind. And he's going to highlight to you the things in your life that show and demonstrate his faithfulness. And it could be many, many different things. I don't know why it was such a challenge, a struggle for Nikki and I for years to pray and stand and contend for kids. I don't know why that's the case. And then there's other people where that doesn't even seem to be a problem at all. And that can lead me to do two things. I could get frustrated, depressed, angry, bitter, all of that. Or it could just be, Lord, I don't understand this, but I'm going to release my heart to you and trust you that you'll work it out. Because the Lord's not asking us to compare our problems with each other or what we struggle or deal with or believe him for. He's just asking us to trust him, just to believe him, just to hold fast to him. And he'll show himself strong. And he has, and he will continue to do so. So this morning, when we partake, we're partaking of his faithfulness. But the scripture's true when it says that there was no greater expression of love than when he died for us. His love was demonstrated for us on the cross. So Lord, we're declaring out this morning your faithfulness. And Lord, I thank you this morning as we partake, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you're honoring, Lord, and you're fulfilling, Lord, stands and steps of faith imperfectly, Lord. Lord, that people have been standing for years. Lord, in Jesus' name, that not one prayer, Father, is wasted. Lord, not one tear that was shed in that place of pain and heartache and disappointment and intercession, Lord, is wasted. Not one. Lord, because you are faithful to the end. And Lord, we just declare out that faithfulness this morning as we partake. So I encourage you as you partake, just take all of those things that you're standing and believing and contending for and just put them right into the Lord's heart and partake, remembering and declaring his faithfulness to the end. In Jesus' name.
Just going to invite the leaders of the House of Prayer to come up and just briefly share what the Lord did this week as part of his faithfulness to us and to this community. So Susie and Ashley, and if Carly's here at the moment, come on up and just impart to all of us what the Lord was all about this week. And we're just going to continue to carry that baton. The momentum is strong. We've had many things happen through the night and in the nightly worships as well, but also in the daytimes when people would come and just spend time in the back, which is just as powerful. So,
it's almost hard to speak. I didn't know we were coming up. But my heart, he's making us a real house of prayer here. We had so much worship, so much intercession this week, and the Holy Spirit just poured out in this place. And it was like every time, it was just, he was always here. And he's, you know, he's God sharing his heart with us, and we're just, that intercession is just rising, and he's answering prayers. And our worship, I was on for revival prayer this morning, and I told Tom the only way to describe last night, it was wild. It was warfare and wild worship. And, you know, God is just so good. He's growing us up and giving us purpose. And we're just taking it and running.
Amen. And I just want to thank the Lord for his presence. It was so tangible each time we gathered. And even when we would just come ahead of time, you just felt like God was so near. And I just want to thank everybody who came out. God is so pleased with our hearts. Every little sacrifice, every big sacrifice, he's worth it all. He laid down his whole life so that we can lay down our life. And it's such a privilege to partner with him and to see his kingdom come through this way. I was really encouraged by the body of Christ that came out each session. There was different people we didn't even know showing up at 2 to 4 a.m., people that, like, we literally do not know that would come. But now we know. And it was just incredible to see God drawing people here. And last night in particular, we had many pastors from downtown Canton here, and we were able to just bless them and just root on what God is doing in their hearts, and that was incredible too.
Yeah, so thank you all so much who came out to pray, to lead worship, who was here, you know, in the evening, also in the middle of the night when it was just, you know, the Lord was the one that was watching. It's all for him, and he was glorified. We thank you all so much, also, who set up the tables and got out all the materials. We heard that they felt there was an upgrade for those this year. So just thank you all so much for pouring out your time and your effort to give God the glory and to partner with him. Bless you guys.
Just want to bring up one more powerful thing. We had, through intercession, we literally were praying for kids to be released from different situations across the world. And this very week that we sat and prayed and contended for their lives to be released, they were released. There were children released this week. And I believe it was due to our intercession and I'm sure prayers around the world. But it's just powerful to see God moving in our midst in that way. We love you, Lord.
Hello, everyone. So last week, you got a kind of quick tour a little bit through our time in Europe, where we had a team in Europe, for those who don't know. And so Pastor Mary Pat led that, and then Ashley and myself were there. So just want to briefly just share the ending portion of that trip that we didn't quite get to with everything last week. So So 30-second recap, we were initially in Germany and in Switzerland. There was a leadership summit for Europe Shall Be Saved, and that is a movement to see 100 million Europeans come to the Lord by 2033. So we were part of that leadership summit. Was incredible. If you missed it, you can watch the video last week. But then we, by a word of the Lord literally spoke the word Dubrovnik to Pastor Mary Pat as she was just driving down the street over here on Portage 3 weeks before we left. We didn't know exactly where we were going after we were in Germany, and the Lord just spoke that word Dubrovnik. So long story short, I'm happy to tell you the long story, but I won't do it this morning. You know, we were in Dubrovnik, had some times of prayer and intercession, but through a number of events, the Lord brought us in contact with this lovely couple. This is Pastor Neno and Jelica. They are Croatian, and they were actually born in Dubrovnik and are the pastors of a church called the Word of Life in Dubrovnik, and they have been for about 10 years, and they are excited to be locals who are the pastors there. So this was an opportunity we had to go out with them on to spend some time breaking bread, fellowship, and getting to know each other, sharing hearts, and God just released some really cool stuff as we were meeting with them. So we can go to the next slide here. So this is a short video of part of the worship service that we had with them the next night. They're in Dubrovnik. There's only two the Word of Life Church that we were at, and one other church in Dubrovnik, and so it was as Protestant churches, that is, and so it was exciting to be here with them, and I'll let you play that video.
That's great. This is beautiful. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be afraid. Because right now, God is going to save you. Right now, a miracle is taking place. You just feel a tugging on your heart. You don't know what to do, and your heart is moving. There is no shame, guilt, fear, or condemnation that will be permitted to stay in you or affect you. Anymore. Anybody else? You don't want to miss your moment. Thank you. Two more. Thank you, Jesus. That's Lord. It. I believe that you came to this earth because of love.
Ja vjerujem da si ti došao na ovu zemlju zbog svoje ljubavi.
I believe you came for a purpose to die on the cross for my sin.
Ja vjerujem da si ti došao i umro za moje grijehe na križu.
And I believe you hold the keys of life and you are giving me new life today.
Ja vjerujem da ti imaš ključeve života i da mi ti daješ danas novi život.
Torment has been in my life.
Gdje je mučenje bilo u mome životu.
I turn away from all of that.
There. But it's just a beautiful time where I believe it was 17 people stood up to really solidify their relationship with Jesus and fully give their hearts to Jesus in surrender as Lord. It was just beautiful, and it turned into more release through some teaching, and then really a time where a lot of the congregation just received prophetic words and words of life over them, and it was just beautiful prayer for healing. There was at least one gentleman that was healed, I think, of his back problem, and then there's another person with a knee that was healed, and then another one, the pastor, Pastor Nano's shoulder, he'd been working, and he'd kind of injured it a little bit. He'd been remodeling a rental house, and the Lord just instantly brought healing there, so he testified to that. So it was really in Dubrovnik, as we also shared, there was times of prayer and intercession. We shared that last week, and then from there, we were supposed to leave, actually. We were supposed to fly out early in the morning and either fly back to Zagreb or drive through the night to Zagreb, and the Lord said no, and so he kept us over. And so we left a day later and led us to go into Bosnia and Herzegovina. So this is actually in a city called Mostar, and this bridge is a historical bridge. It's a significant bridge in a lot of the Bosnian the wars and the unrest. So on the right-hand side, there are mosques, and it's the Muslim section of town, and on the left-hand side is the Christian side of town. And so this is a little footbridge that's kind of become symbolic of the divide, but also a prayer, and as we prayed out, praying for symbolic of the restoration and healing and you know, just God moving through to bring life. So that was, obviously we saw it in the night, and then we were able to meet with a pastor who's been there for 30 years and to encourage him and and ask the Lord to bring strength and wisdom in all his decisions there. I think there's a picture of that next, or no? So as well, that morning before we went into Bosnia, the Lord, we came up to, I was just checking out with that lady at the desk. There, she's back. So her name is Dora, and as we just started, I was checking out, I was mostly checking out, and Ashley and Pastor Mary Pat had just come up from breakfast and just had a beautiful time of just really offering the heart of your Father, and then started sharing Jesus with her, and she was just like, thank you so much for this, and just so crazy hungry. It was, we really did not see a lot of that where we were, but just got, it was clear that God was moving, and if it was just for Dora that we stayed over an extra day, that would have been incredible. And so had a chance to pray with her, lead her to Jesus, and just full surrender there, and just such a sweet spirit. And then we were able to bless her some things as we left a little bit later, and encourage her and get her the contact information for the Word of Life Church there that she could connect in and grow in her faith. So that was, she was so hungry, so desirous of receiving the Lord. It was really, really amazing. Is there anything else, or are we turning it over, I think?
Again, thanks for all your support and love, and there are a lot of other things which will be somewhere on the website or Facebook or something, and we'll probably share some things at some point. But it was a very pivotal trip, and the Lord took us into 5 countries, and that was very strategic. And we're still asking, what were you doing, and what are we supposed to learn from this, and how can we serve others here and in Europe through this, and actually in Israel. We had some connections there when we were in Germany. So thank you, guys. We briefly want to share something that came to us yesterday from Pastor Samuel. And we're going to go ahead and put some of those pictures up. We'll put the video up first. Let me just give a little introduction. From the very beginning of Kingdom Bible Schools that we've done in Ghana North, and I don't remember the very beginning, the first year. Help me out here, guys. 2009, thank you. This young man, he's in his mid-30s now, except he doesn't remember the exact year and date he was born because he lived in the north, still lives in part of the north, actually, and he doesn't know, and his mother doesn't know, so that's how they were raised. I don't know, and so he doesn't even know, but we're estimating about 35 years old. So he and his wife were single at the time, but they came to Kingdom Bible School at the very beginning, the first one, and they came all the way through. His name is Samuel, another Samuel, and he didn't come to the last one, but all the others, he's been there. And the Lord put a seed in his heart to go and plant churches, and Pastor Samuel was really excited about that, and has seen this just come up and blossom, and this young man wants to start and is starting a church outside of Kumasi, actually about 300 kilometers, so it's really outside of Kumasi, in the western region. It's about 60 kilometers from Ivory Coast, so it's really far away. So Pastor Samuel and Pastor Emmanuel from Tuna Church up in the northern region where we have our base in Sola, they both went to see what's going on. They have forwarded or offered some monies just to help the little shack, purchase the half plot of land and the little shack that you'll see. And this young man and his wife are hanging out in a village, I don't know the name of it, and they're trying to earn their way by working in a cocoa farm. And it's a kind of like a rainforest. And then in the town, I'm not sure how close it is, but in the town, they are doing this new church plant on the weekends. So Pastor Samuel rented a room there for them. They have 2 kids, 12 and 7, and maybe you'll recognize this person if you've been to Ghana North, so a few years later. So here's the video. I may just have you shut it because it goes for a long time. So we'll start it. That's Samuel.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
So they want to fortify that place and buy wood and have real walls and they have a ceiling, a roof that leaks all the time. You know that goes.
Obubefu eso nye bone na krono bi na obo a obejai se kojibra na obo a obejai ahinie no emie ma ese fata ana ye ye wa ahinie ni ahinie no eni suru ho e wa
okay we can cut it there. It goes on for a long time, but just to give you a picture of Pastor Samuel as the prophetic apostolic evangelist he is, when I talked to him on the phone, he was so excited at this fruit of the ministry and counts us in there. And he's really wanting to thank you guys and thank all the training that's gone on in Ghana North. And he knows that this is the result of that. So I'm just really excited about it. There are a couple pictures you can see and flip through. Maybe Ashley, you can help her. There we go. And there he is on the right. And his wife is on the left. Anybody remember him from Kingdom Bible School all these years? If you did, wave your hand because it's kind of hard to see. Okay. That's awesome. Well, anyway, it's very exciting that this is happening, and there's not anything in the Western region like this that's close to Cote d'Ivoire. And they don't speak French at all. So there's a couple more pictures that we want to show. If you want to flip those through. Is this a video? Okay, play that. This is really funny, but it's not. It's kind of sad. What do you see? Fish everywhere, right? Okay, the people in this area are not allowed to fish, and they're not allowed to eat the fish, to kill the fish at all. You can cut it. Just a bunch of fish. Because everything there is superstition-based, everything. So Pastor Samuel was trying to describe it, but it's just pervasive. The chief priest has to come out and do libations and has to use the fetishes and stuff to try to cleanse the water, and none of that works. It's just all occultic. So basically, this young man is going to unreached people. I love it. And so when Pastor Samuel was there at the market, he said, there's thousands of people. He couldn't even imagine where they were coming from. So this is a very big deal in Western Ghana. Excuse me. And so we need to pray for this young man. Pastor Samuel himself is going to mentor him, even above Pastor Emmanuel from Tuna, who's the lead pastor up in Ghana North, because he knows the danger of going into an unpioneered area. And this guy has never done anything like this. So we want to lift him up. Not sure of the wife's name yet. You know how that is. And that will come, hopefully, today. But we want to support in every way. So financially, spiritually, emotionally, because we're part of them. They're part of us. So Pastor Samuel was just very, very excited. So let's just pray. And then we're going to release the teens to their class and the youth to theirs, the children. So, Father, we just thank you for this expansion. It's very strategic, and it's very important, Father, for what you're doing in Ghana after all these years. This is something new. This is something different. This is something fresh. Even with all the other church plants, all the other branches, everything that's going on up in Ghana North area, even still down in Kumasi area and down in Amasaman down near Ghana South. So, Father, we just thank you for what's going on there and what you have your hand on, and for just the vitality that I saw in Pastor Samuel's video, but also in his voice. He was just so encouraged. And Mama Vera, after we prayed for her the other night, is getting stronger. So, Father, there's a move of power that's coming into Life Christian Center International. So we just thank you for that, Lord. And Father, we just give you the praise for what you're doing in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. Go to your classes, guys. Pastor Bill has a message.
We ready? One person, my wife. Wow. Father, we need to pray. Lord, I pray you would make us ready, Lord. Make us ready to hear from you. Give us a heart to hear from you. We're here. But our hearts need Holy Spirit to open them up wide to what you have to share with us today. Jesus, you've been sharing with me. And Father, I feel like I don't live up to this message, but I want to. I'm on my way. I've been making steps. Yes, Lord. The last few years, even more steps. And Jesus, you will come to us all. You will empower us. Father, as you have challenged me, as you've convicted my heart in a deeper way, Lord, I offer it to your people. I offer it to this little tribe that is going to the nations, that's seen our efforts multiply, God, in Ghana, in other areas, Father, multiplying the gospel. That's what's supposed to happen through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. If we know you, we're your kids. We're in your family. You take this process with us personally. You want us to grow. You want us to be successful. Your desire for us is so far greater than our desire for you. And you can make it happen within us, bringing the fire of the Holy Spirit to reality in our lives, that we will hear your voice. We will act on your word. We will walk in your ways. We will walk in your power and not just ours. Thank you, God. Bring us to that another step forward this morning, God, as we consider your message to us. We want your message, not Pastor Bill's message. We want your voice, not just Pastor Bill's voice. Father, we thank you that you're speaking during this time together. We receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen mean amen. Part of it is agreement, right? And so when you say amen, it's like you're joining in with agreement. That's important, especially for a message like this. We've been talking about the fear of the Lord. I have a flamingo shirt on. I don't know if you can see the little flamingos. It's kind of present, you know, that I'm going to be gentle and featherly today, but I'm not. And so it's kind of a misnomer. And so we believe the Holy Spirit's job is to convict me, to challenge me, and then I get to challenge you, but hopefully under his power and his direction. So we've been talking about the fear of the Lord. We said it is a healthy fear of God, is a humbly reverent awe of the Almighty, an awe of the Almighty, where we tremble in his presence, tremble at his word. Where I always align everything I am and everything I do to please him, because he's worthy of that. So if you're in that process, if you're here this morning and you're saying, I just want to be more aligned with the heart of Jesus. I just want to be more like him, and only he can make me into that. I can't do it by my intentions. I have to do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Then you're in the right place. You're on the right path. You're actually stepping into the fear of the Lord. So as you hear these things this morning, remember, you're on your way, or you wouldn't be here, because we've been talking about this the last two times I spoke, so you could have skipped this time, and you didn't. You came. You're in the flow of the fear of the Lord. We said in the dictionary that it's an unpleasant, often strong emotion, that's fear, caused by anticipation or awareness of danger, anxious concern, or unpleasant alarm. That's the natural fear, right? And then it adds, it also includes profound reverence and awe, especially towards God. That's the spiritual fear that we're talking about. Spiritual fear overcomes natural fear. If you have a fear, a phobia, we talked about the Greek words. Mora is the fear, reverence, terror, awe, an object of fear, respect, reverence. To be afraid, to fear, to reverence God. And we talked about Fabio. Sounds like that guy a long time ago. Anyway, long hair. You know, I used to look just like him. No. It was a long time ago. Fabio, panic that grips a person, causing him to run away. Be alarmed, scared, frightened, dismayed, filled with dread, intimidated, anxious, apprehensive. We get the word phobia from that. You look up phobia on the internet, you'll find people are fearful of everything. Specks of dust, spiders, snakes, those kinds of things, but cracks in the sidewalk, very small things that should be easy to overcome, but aren't by the human condition. They can only be overcome by someone empowered by the Holy Spirit that has the fear of the Lord. We summarized the entire Bible in one verse. As far as the fear of the Lord was concerned, it was Exodus 20:20. However, Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come in order to test you and in order that the fear of him may remain with you so that you may not sin." Fear of the Lord prevents the pathway to sin. If we fear God more than we want pleasure, then we will have the power to overcome sin. But we can't just do that by our own intentions. And unfortunately, that's where much of the body of Christ goes astray. They think, well, if I just say I'm not going to sin, I'm not going to step into sexual sin, I'm not going to step into stealing and so on. I'm a good person. I just won't do it. But if you've lived life very long at all, you know how those intentions fail very easily, extremely easily. The only thing that keeps us from these things is the fear of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, inspiring that in our hearts, empowering that in our hearts. And that's the pathway of real life with Jesus. Well, I hear people say, from time to time, "Oh, I tried Jesus. He didn't work." That's impossible. That's absolutely impossible. When you have 700 plus names and titles in the Bible and unlimited in heaven, there's no way that if you have the true Jesus, not some plastic counterfeit, that he doesn't work for the human condition. He died on the cross to make sure he was the salvation of the world as a person, not a package. And so he does work for every person, but they must bend their knee. They must come before him and say, here I am. I'm going to give up all my Facebook posts where I give my opinion. It's worthless. I'll give up my doctrine. Actually, I had people say that to me. Well, my doctrine says this. Who gives a rip about our personal doctrine? We should be looking for the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, what he believes, and learning humbly before him, not going around thinking we know something about the Bible or about Jesus. We're all beginners at whatever stage we start. I've been a Christian over 50 years. I'm still a beginner. 50 years, that's nothing to God. I'm still a beginner. I'm a child. I'm still learning. If you've known Jesus more than 50 years, maybe you can come up and say you learned something. I don't know. But we're only learning about him, growing in him, gaining in him, And some of us get a little respect because we actually been on that path for a while. But he's the only one that deserves the fear of the Lord. He's the only one that deserves the honor and respect of all of us. So it was summarized in Exodus 20:20. He tells the people who were desperately afraid when the mountain is shaking and the lightning and the thundering is happening. And they're like, and now they're being told they can go up the mountain like Moses to meet with God after they were told, if you come anywhere near God, you will be fried. And they're in total natural fear, and they step away from entering into the presence of the Lord. There are many people like that today. They come to church, but they're afraid to enter into the presence of the Lord where the action is, where all the changes come from, where we get the courage to go to these nations. We don't have that on our own. Are you kidding? And when you go, you know, 30 times or whatever, you better be dependent the 31st time on God and realize you're a rookie on this particular trip. You can call yourself a veteran, missionary, but that means nothing to the Most High God. We need as much fear of the Lord on the first trip as the 31st trip, and learning from him, trusting in him every step of the way, every step taken, asking the Holy Spirit to come in, protect the team, protect us, work through us, use us in some way. It needs to be fresh every time. I like how it's so quiet in the room right now. This is sweet time. I'm going to enjoy it. Just give me a minute. It's so great. But it's true. I want to have more confidence when I go because I've seen God do many things. But the confidence isn't in me. It's a growing confidence by the fear of the Lord in the mighty God who can do incredible things in people's lives and turn them upside down. That couple going into that region, unreached region, no churches, think how you would feel. They're going with maybe some zeal, some excitement, but they're wise enough to know that the fear of the Lord also means that they come under someone, under accountability, under some help, under some counsel, some guidance of people that have already gone into areas and feared the Lord to establish things in regions that were very unreached. If they went there by themselves, it would probably be a disaster. But they're going under a covering of at least two ministries. And all we want to do is help them, not control them. We want to help them be successful, learning how to fear the Lord. When the superstition says, don't go to the river and fish, the fish are sacred. You can't pull them out of the river to eat in an area that has people that need food. Does that sound like the enemy to you? Kill, steal, and destroy. He's stealing from them the very resources that are right in front of them through superstition, lies of the enemy. And this couple is going into that kind of an area. Boy, we're going to have to pray that they fear the Lord. We have areas that we go into in Ohio that we're pioneering. Business areas that really haven't been touched that much with the gospel, or going into the Southeast Corridor that some people have thrown a little bread out there, but they've taken no loaves over and over and over again. It's in taking the gospel over and over and over again that the gates of hell start to shake. The enemy truly fears the Lord at times, doesn't he? He runs. But it's a natural fear. If he would bend his knee in the true fear of the Lord, there would be no more temptation from him. Think of that. But he won't do it. So if the enemy is resistant to the fear of the Lord, we certainly can be resistant. He's been in the presence of God. He's worshipped in the very presence of God in the past and was kicked out because he wouldn't fear God. We've had a whole week of 24/7 worship and prayer, and I think the fear of the Lord has increased in that week for all of us. Those that were praying, even whether if you weren't here, you were prayed for, to enter into a deeper, deeper relationship with the Lord where you have the fear of the Lord on a deeper level. This morning I want to center in on the fear of man. There are verses after verses. I hope when you read the Bible now, you just can't miss the ones on the fear of the Lord. We read a couple passages during the 24/7 prayer, long passages, and the fear of the Lord was right there in the middle of it. And so we'll discover more about it as we read in the scriptures. You're going to run into the fear of the Lord right and left. You're going to have an ear wide open when you hear someone give a message. You're going to hear that verse about the fear of the Lord. You're going to realize that this whole thing, this message, and the surrounding things that you're going to hear about the fear of the Lord are going to prepare you for the last days. I've got a statement I'm going to read. It convicts me to my core about what happened with COVID. Because COVID was just a gracious preparation by the Lord. With what happened, it was an attack of the enemy, but he graciously was helping the church see what was going to happen when we get attacked and attacked and attacked and attacked in the last days. It gave us an opportunity to be prepared, gave us a report card on ourselves. How much do I fear the Lord and how much do I fear everything else? If I fear everything else, I won't fear the Lord. If I fear the Lord, I won't fear everything else. I might for an instant, I might for a day, but it'll be cut off because the fear of the Lord will rise up inside of me because of the Holy Spirit inside of me, and I will stand when others fall. You know there's going to be a great falling away in the last days. You also know there's going to be a great harvest. Who is going to bring in that harvest if everybody falls away? That's not going to happen, is it? There are going to be many of us that don't fall away. We're going to prepare for that. We're going to get ready for that. COVID was child's play compared to what's coming. That's not, you know, it's not me just making something up. It's in the Bible. So he graciously allowed us to get prepared, allowed us to see what was in our hearts, squeezed us like a toothpaste tube to see what's in there so we can see what's in our hearts. Are we aligned with the fear of the Lord? Or are we just still playing games of some kind with being a Christian? He's giving us that opportunity. We'll talk more about that. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted," or will be safe, some versions say. The fear of man brings a trap, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted, will be safe. We have instances every day where we come up against, will we fear the Lord more than we fear man? In the various ways that we can fear man. Do we feel fear flesh coming against us? If they come against us aggressive, do we back down? Or do we move forward? and try to bring in what God gives us to give to a person when flesh comes against us very strong. When the world system sets up things that says you are not in line with what we say you're to do. What do we do with that? What do we do with that when it's a whole system that's set up against what we believe, what we think might be right? Will we step forward with courage like a Daniel and go up against the world system? Fear the Lord more than a system coming against us. These are important questions for these days, and that's why this topic will come to you over and over and over again in the Bible. Everywhere you look, you're going to find this is coming to your heart to prepare you for the last days. God is that gracious. In the last days that we are in, the fear of the enemy, the fear of the world system, and the fear of individual men, be they rulers or peers, is the ultimate test for the radical disciple of Jesus. Will we fear our omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God? Omnipotent, all-powerful. He can do anything. Omniscient, all-knowing. He knows everything about us and everything else. Omnipresent. He can be anywhere at any time. He can be in our hearts and in heaven. He can be anywhere in the universe and beyond at the same time that he's right here with us this morning. Will we fear our omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God more than the schemes of the enemy, the persecution of the world system, and the personal attacks from individuals? Did you experience that at all during the COVID time? And personal attacks don't have to be somebody cussing you out because you're not wearing a mask in a particular situation. They could just give you a look of disdain, of non-acceptance. That's as much of an attack. And sometimes affects us even more. COVID crashing into our world was a preview of things to come. How did you, I'm asking myself these questions too. How did you as an individual react to the threat of COVID? Did you have more of a fear of the virus than you did the fear of God? Did you have more fear of the authorities in charge than you did the fear of God? Did you have more fear of the pressure from fellow citizens or fellow believers than the fear of what Jesus thought of what pleased the Father? Were you more interested in the daily updates of mortalities and the progress of the development and distribution of a vaccine than you were interested in what the Holy Spirit was revealing and saying? Did you try to protect yourself more, or did you rely more on the protection of Psalm 91 and prayer during the months of the highest threat from the virus? This was a preparatory test for the last days by a gracious God. How did you do? Well, obviously, you can ask yourself those questions. How did you do? How did we do as a body of believers during the COVID time? You know, I see some things that we could have stepped up more with the fear of the Lord. Do you? Do you? Especially now looking back, several years later, looking back, oh my gosh, why did we believe those people? Why did we believe that narrative? They weren't really looking for our best interests, our leaders. You are more prepared now for the next test. If you take all that he's taught you in this time and lay it before him in repentance for the things where we failed, each of us, and as a body, if we come before him and just lay it down. There was some awesome, beautiful repentance this week in the 24/7 worship and prayer. And it's part of, it's another step of getting prepared for shining in the last days. Courageous, like a Joshua entering the promised land. We have a harvest to bring in. Are we going to be shaking in the corner when the harvest needs to be brought in? And Jesus is saying, where are the laborers? Where are the laborers? And we're shaking in the corner because of the next threat that comes. Or are we going to use the lesson that we learned in COVID? We saw the word of the Lord come forth and give us courage in certain instances when we walked around this land, like around the city of Jericho, asking not our building to fall down. Some of you got that right. Right? While you were marching, you weren't thinking that I wanted you to have the building fall down. Although some of you were tempted for a little better place. Okay. So we walked the perimeter of the land, declaring against the enemy's work through COVID, through fears in our own lives, through everything that was going on, marched around the land. And kids from the neighborhood came over and, what are you doing? What are you doing? And we sat out in the parking lot and preached Jesus to these kids that came in from the neighborhood to find out what the world we were doing marching around the land. And they were probably lonely to see a few people. At that point, there was a lot shut down. And they're on their bikes riding, you know, in the fresh air going, these people are crazy. This is going against everything I've heard. They're watching us, asking us questions. And then when we went out on an outreach that summer, we needed to know what God was saying. And we've gone through that before about the how he gave the word about the life preserver with the Holy Spirit inside a clear life preserver. Each around each person going out, and each person that we were going to go out to in Canton. How many were on that outreach? Okay. So it actually happened. You know, just for anyone that, you know, might not. And we went out there, and you didn't know whether people were going to open their door. We didn't give any instructions on masks to the ones going out. We didn't know whether people would open their door or shut their door even tighter. And they opened their door. And they came to the outreach in a church parking lot. And they received the gospel, and people came forward to receive Jesus. We needed the Lord to give us that. And we had, by the end of that outreach, we had such confidence in that parking lot, the people were walking towards the parking lot with a mask on and bringing it, taking it off. They could see everyone was having a great time. Their fear left because the fear of the Lord was so increased in that parking lot. Think of that. You participated in that. And if you weren't there, maybe you prayed for it or gave to it or whatever. It was amazing. And we were like little kids trying to learn. Let's stay that way for this next season, where whatever comes against us, we say, Jesus, do it again. Give us the guidance of Joel 2, Acts 2, kind of revelation to us, new communication, dreams, visions, pictures. Oh, you can't trust those. Look at the people in the Bible. They acted when they knew it was the Lord on a vision, on a dream. Daniel, one of the purest people you can find in the Old Testament, had dreams that are still affecting our generation. You bet you can trust it if it's truly God. So this is our report card, that paragraph. It's kind of like, wow, all of us can say we can do better in the next wave of whatever comes against the earth, right? And we can do it together. Why do you think there's something about doing it together as a family of believers? So many Christians are lone rangers, and they're going to get picked off. I'm just telling you. You have to be related with other believers. It's God's plan, not mine. And when you are, you stand a lot stronger through the unity of the believers. If they're after the Holy Spirit, if they're in alignment with God, if it's just a bunch of Christians together, that doesn't work. It has to be true unity on truth in the Holy Spirit. Many people are, in our day, deciding to be unified around the Word of God. But the Word of God includes the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us. We have to have that aspect of it, or it simply becomes so much legalism. We're together based on rules rather than relationship. We're going for something where the Bible is absolutely honored in every way, and when it tells us the Holy Spirit is inside us as the power, the fuel for our tank, we believe it, and we want to step into it, and we encourage each other to keep believing it, because you can walk away from even that. There's no reason to fear in the last days, because he will instill us with the fear of the Lord. And then you go up against Goliath with a sling and a stone and you win. We will win. Not because I say so, but because we decide to fear the Lord together. I want you to win in your families, in your individual lives. And I know by drawing you into the fire of the Holy Spirit, you have the best opportunity to win. Drawing you into the powerful Word of God, you have the best opportunity to win. Drawing you into the fellowship of the saints, true fellowship of the saints. Not getting together and checking it off. Getting together and iron sharpening iron. One man sharpens another. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. We wound one another for our good, but we love one another. We're not wounding one another to step on each other to get higher in Jesus. That's not the process. Doesn't have anything to do with the fear of the Lord, does it? So I want to finish by looking at Luke 22. Join me if you fear the Lord. Join me in Luke 22. Starting in verses 31 through 34. You want to learn what we're like at the core? You studied the life of Peter. That's Luke 22, starting in verse 31. Jesus is speaking here. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to sift you men like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail, and you, when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. He's prophesying here over Peter, but he's also praying. Aren't you glad that Jesus is praying for us? He was praying for us during COVID. He was sending us to Psalm 91 and said, hey, guess what? You can believe this. pestilence isn't going to be overcoming you. He sent us the key scriptures that took on a whole new serious meaning for us. And when we declared those out together, when we stood together, COVID had a very hard time getting any foothold. We gathered when we shouldn't have been gathering, according to the people in charge. We went out when we shouldn't have gone out. We went to places we shouldn't have gone to. I went to many meetings I shouldn't have gone to. And it was sweet. It was good. Because Psalm 91 actually works. I don't understand everything, but I know it worked during the time of COVID. And I'm thankful for God upholding his word. So he prophesies over him. He prays over him. He's doing that for us right now, this morning. Jesus is your prayer partner. He's your biggest fan. And he's praying over you, your family situation, everything in your life. Jesus is praying about right now. He's praying that he can infuse you with the fear of the Lord, and it'll be so awesome. You'll reverence him and worship him in a whole new, at a whole new level in a whole new way. He'll be intimate with you. He'll encounter you. He'll bring experiences to you that will convince you that God is worthy of trusting. He'll activate those 700 names and titles in your life. And you'll be in a whole new place of worship. But I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And you, when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. You're going to fail, Peter, even though I'm praying for you not to fail. You're going to fail. But when you come back, strengthen your brothers. Did that happen? Yes, it did. But he said to him, this is Peter, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Let's never say that. That was said on his own without the power of the Holy Spirit behind it. Let's not make declarations like this when we're not prepared to make them. If we make them boldly in the Lord, and let's include the Lord in the declaration, not I is worthless, as we know. Without me, you can do. That wasn't very convincing. Without me, you can do. Yeah. And Peter's going, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. I don't think anyone's ready to go to prison and to death. God can make us ready, and we don't know we're ready, but when we're on our way to prison, we're probably not ready to be in prison for the gospel. But he, in that process, brings the fear of the Lord, brings his value to us, brings us the remembrance that he went to prison. He went to death. And what happened? He blew it out of the water with the resurrection. And he can convince us that he can do the same for us when we go to prison. And even if we go to death, we're going to rise again. But he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow today until you have denied three times that you know me. Just the opposite of what Peter said. Literally, you're going to be a chicken heart. The rooster's going to agree with your chicken heartedness. And yet you make these strong declarations of bold power. You see, we can't make those on our own. That's the lesson. We have to have the power of Jesus to do that. Now we're going to move to verses 54 through 62. That was at the Last Supper that they have this conversation. Now we're at the time Jesus has been arrested. The disciples have scattered. Some have come to see what's going on. So I believe John had a way into the courtyard of the high priest, and Peter followed. Now they arrested him and led him away and brought him to the house of the high priest, but Peter was following at a distance. Not the leader, not the bold one, not the "I'll chop the ear off of the high priest's servant at the wrong time." You can be bold in zeal without wisdom at the wrong time. It takes the Holy Spirit to tell us when to be bold. Maybe this was a time to be bold, and Peter is kind of lagging behind, checking everything out. And he follows at a distance. By the way, before I forget, this account is in all four Gospels. The denial of Peter. The big declaration of Peter is in all four Gospels. The denial by Peter is in all four Gospels. How would you like your biggest mistakes in the Bible? Not once, four times. You know why God did that? To put the fear of the Lord in us. But he also turned it around, didn't he? Jesus turned it around, not Peter. Peter didn't approach Jesus and say, "Hey, can you turn this around?" Peter didn't approach Jesus. Jesus approached Peter, made him breakfast at the seashore, and turned it around for Peter. Doesn't that give you hope? Gives me hope. My mistakes during COVID, whatever they were, I can see him correct those in me for the next wave of whatever comes against us. Hope. After they kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter was sitting among them. He made it to the crowd. Jesus is nearby, maybe inside. And he's going through a trial. And a slave woman, seeing him as he sat in the firelight and staring at him, said, "This man was with him as well." Maybe pointing. This man was with him as well. But he denied it, saying, "I do not know him, woman." Pretty strong denial, right? It's not like, "Well, do I know him? Apparently not, because I feel something coming that I'm stepping into here. Do I really know him?" No, it was just right out. "I do not know him." Woman, strong in his denial. Not strong in his boldness, strong in his denial. And a little later, another person saw him and said, we find out in other accounts, I've read these four, it's another slave woman. Now, this is someone supposedly under Peter in class, under Peter in position. He could have gone and whispered to her ear and said to her, "Now, slave woman, you don't tell anybody. Yes, I know him. But I'm not quite ready yet to let everybody in this crowd know him. So you keep your mouth shut, slave woman." Could have pulled position on her. He didn't even do that. Now remember, this represents us. I'm not picking on Peter. Picking on Peter. Oh, that'd be a good song. Sorry. And a little later, another person saw him. We find out in another account, that's another slave woman. "You are one of them too." Well, apparently here it was a man. So in the accounts they have a slave woman, a man, and a group of people. So it, you know, it was three denials, but it was kind of interesting who was pointing the finger, maybe out of the crowd to him and so on in the different accounts. Man, I am not. And after about an hour had passed, some other man began to insist, saying, certainly this man also was with him, for he too is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you were talking about. Whoa, I kind of said that like Joe Biden, sorry. Man, I do not know what you are talking about. And immediately, while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. And then the Lord turned and looked at Peter. You'll only find that in this account, if I remember right. Somehow, the Lord maybe was done with a certain part of the proceedings of his trial, and he just one glance, maybe passing by, maybe they were taking him to the other place. He had several trials that night. Maybe he passed by a doorway, and just at the instant that the rooster crowed, Jesus turned back and looked at Peter. Whatever in your mind's eye you can see, there'll be some kind of accuracy to it if he turns and looks at Peter. He turns and looks at us. What is that to do with us? Condemn us? That look? Certainly he didn't like denial. My personal thought is the look was to instill the fear of the Lord. Look, you made your own big pronouncement. I will go to prison and I will die for you. That failed. I prophesied it. I'm looking at you with what could be condemnation for your denial, but actually, I'm wanting to instill in you the fear of the Lord because I know what's going to happen after I'm crucified, after I raised from the dead. I am going to meet you at the seashore, and I am going to restore you to your ministry through the fear of the Lord again. After your denials, after your failings, I'm going to restore you to the fear of the Lord. You are going to feed my sheep. You are going to feed my lambs. You are going to feed my sheep. No failure is permanent unless we let it become permanent. We convince ourselves, you should condemn me, God. That look from Jesus, maybe Peter felt, oh, I feel so condemned. He was in a process. He's in the process of Jesus teaching him the fear of the Lord. Wow. He didn't even know it. He didn't know Jesus was done with him. Wasn't done with him. Said that wrong. He thought Jesus was done with him. He wasn't. Jesus wasn't done for one thing. And Peter assumed that. He's been arrested by the authorities. The worst thing that could happen because, you know, they're big and powerful and everything else. And he saw the multiplying of the bread. He walked on water with Jesus. We've seen things. We've seen miracles, blind eyes open, deaf ears open around the world. Incredible things. But we better fear the Lord and remember those things and remind each other of those things and tell each other of those things. Because we could end up feeling condemned. Oh, wow, God has left me here in this wave of persecution in the last days. God has left me. When he predicts persecution for us, he tells us, you're going to get persecuted. and be in joy, by the way.
What?
That you are worthy that someone found out you were enough of a Christian to persecute you. That's a good thing. There are going to be Christians that nobody touches in the last days because they won't look like Christians. But if they come after us, the world comes after us, the world system, our neighbors, our friends, our family, we can love them back with joy and with the powerful gospel. We don't have to feel like, wow, God has left me, I'm condemned because I'm being persecuted. I thought the government had laws against such things. They're going to fail, aren't they? We see that coming. Our protections are failing. The people. So we pray. We pray even if it looks like the whole system is taking a dive. We still pray for righteousness and justice because that's the fear of the Lord. Praying it in when it's going the opposite direction. That's what Jesus did with Peter, right? He prayed that he prayed that his faith wouldn't fail. He didn't really pray that he wouldn't fail along the way, just as his faith wouldn't fail. Don't give up on me, because even though when I'm arrested, when I'm being beaten, when I go through trials, and every trial I'm condemned, I'm not done. I'm put on a cross, I'm not done. I'm buried, I'm not done. I resurrect from all of that. And he resurrected Peter in his denials, in his fear of man. This morning I want you to have that hope that the fear of the Lord is going to increase in you, that you will be ready for the next wave in the last days. You'll be ready for the next trial in your own life without even the waves that's going to come across the earth against the body of Christ, against Christians. It's happening. We see it in the countries, right? We prayed about it this week. Nigeria, Northern Mozambique, India, everything, all the persecution, the killing of Christians is increasing. We see the Christians being tracked down in the U.S. You are not going to fit the profile of a good citizen sooner or later in the United States. It's already happening in China. The surveillance system is catching everyone by facial recognition and recognition of your walk. If it's too far away to catch recognition of your face, it's catching your gait, how you walk. Isn't that prophetic? And guess who will be unable to sell, unable to buy? Christians. They won't fit the profile of the system. There are those that want that system here. There are those trying to institute such a system here. It will protect our citizens. Are you ready? With the fear of the Lord, he will make you ready, just like he did Peter. If you were to look at those three denials, you would say, wow, he's toast. He's cooked. His goose is cooked. That rooster was awfully loud that night. We've heard them in Africa. They seem very loud. But this one was really loud. The disciple that was with him at the fire, he knew probably what was said. because Jesus basically said he was going to pray for all of them. So that disciple probably heard, and when he heard that rooster, he was like, oh, dude, your goose is cooked. You're done. Just the opposite Jesus had in mind. Because he prophesied, you will go after your brothers and be an encouragement to them. He probably didn't even hear that part. When you've denied Jesus, you only hear the bad stuff, right? That's all your thoughts talk about is the bad stuff. Not all the promises. He's going to go after us. He's going to love us. He's going to pray for us. He's going to rescue us. He's going to resurrect us. We forget he loves doing that part. Father, we give you praise. We honor you today, God. You're so good to us. You're teaching us about the fear of the Lord as opposed to the fear of man. Those two are opposites of one another, and we need you. We cannot make our own big pronouncements. We can't even say, this ministry will. No, God. Forgive us. We come under you. We humble ourselves before you. That's a huge part of the fear of the Lord. Reverencing you. Having such awe of who you are. Encounters with you where we realize, you've forgiven me, God. How is that possible for all that I've done? Peter, at the seashore with Jesus, felt like dirt. And Jesus told him he would minister in his name. He went from the depths of despair to his destiny. Very quickly in the presence of Jesus. We can do the same by encountering you, Lord, in your word, by your spirit, by being still and letting you tell us how much you are God. We give you glory today, God. We humble ourselves before you. We bow down before you. Lord, may we take what the Holy Spirit has released today home and take a quiet moment to come before you and say to you, teach me the fear of the Lord. You can start it now. Teach me the fear of the Lord. As I speak it from here, I'm meaning it for myself. Teach me the glorious, wondrous fear of the Lord that will sustain me like Psalm 91 with whatever comes to my life by trial, tribulation, or terror in the last days. You can rescue me out of any of those. I fear you, God. I worship you. I bend my knee to you, align my heart with yours, that I'm in a constant communication with you through Holy Spirit. We bless you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Ooh, that was stronger at the end. Thank you, Lord. Tuesday night, we have fire and wind. Need a little fire to have more fear of the Lord? Fire and wind. Need a little bit more of the wind of the Holy Spirit in your sails for the fear of the Lord? Fire and wind.